Okay. I think we should get started. I assume Commissioner Fish is going to join us, but could you, council come to order? Would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. So, could you read item number 51, and then I'll start with the procedure.
Okay. I think we would read both of them together.
51 and 52? Okay. Yes. Right.
51, consider the proposal of Haddish Kerrigan Pristine Cleaning, LLC, and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval with conditions to change the comprehensive plan map designation and zoning from R5 single dwelling residential and CG general commercial zones to CM mixed commercial residential at 7424 North Mississippi Avenue. Item 52, amend the comprehensive plan map designation and change zoning of property in the vicinity of 7424 North Mississippi Avenue at the request of Haddish Kerrigan Pristine Cleaning, LLC. It's LU12160096CPZC.
Thank you. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing. I first need to ask if any members of the council wish to declare a potential conflict of interest. Hearing none, do any of the members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare or information obtained outside of the hearing to disclose? Hearing none. Do any of the council members have any other matters that need to be discussed before we begin the public hearing?
So, Mayor, this would be typically I will do the city attorney announcements even before the ex parte, but this would be an appropriate time before you start going through the testimony
staff
list.
Right.
So,
yep, go ahead.
Okay. This is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. Testimony concerning the hearings officer's recommendation will be heard as follows. We'll begin with a staff report by BDS staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 15 minutes to address the council. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. If there is testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. The council may vote today on the hearings officer's recommendation. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote on the hearings officer's recommendation. If the council takes a final vote on the findings and recommendation today, that will conclude the matter before council. I have a few announcements to make on guidelines for those who will be addressing council today. First, submitting evidence into the record. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photos, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Second, testimony must be directed to approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to council. Third, issues must be raised with specificity. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. And finally, the applicant must identify constitutional challenges to conditions of approval. If the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions before we call for the staff report on the procedure? Okay, let's have the staff report. Thank you. Good
Good
afternoon. I'm Sheila Fregoli, the assigned planner who will be presenting.
Oh, Sheila, your mic's not on.
Oh, you got to press the button.
Here we go.
Glad somebody else gets rusty.
It sounded so much better before. Good afternoon. I'm Sheila Fregoli, the assigned staff. I'm here to present Hearings Officer Gregory Frank's recommendation on Land Use Review 12-16-0096 CPZC. This is a comprehensive plan map amendment and concurrent zoning map amendment request. The subject property is a 15,000 square foot split zone site that is located at 7424 North Mississippi. The request is to change the zoning and designation from R5 single dwelling residential to the CM mixed commercial residential zone that implements the urban commercial comprehensive plan map designation. And the applicant has requested to also change the portion of his site that is zoned CG general commercial to the CM zone and the urban commercial designation. In order to be approved, this proposal must be found to meet approval criteria 33.810.050A and criteria 33.855.050A through D. Let's see here.
There you go.
Looking at the current zoning map, we see that the northern third of the site is currently zoned CG, and the southern two-thirds are zoned R5. The CG zone allows retail sales and service, quick vehicle servicing, vehicle repair, office, and residential uses. This zone is an auto-oriented zone that allows drive-through facilities and exterior display and storage of goods. R5 is a single-dwelling residential zone that allows residential development at a density of one dwelling per 5,000 square feet of site area. Here we see the proposed map change. The CM zone promotes development that combines commercial and housing uses on the same site. For sites with existing non-residential development, such as this site, only residential development will be required if additional commercial floor area is added to the site and or if it's redeveloped. If the site were to be redeveloped, a 50-50 match of residential to commercial would be required. The CM zone prohibits drive-through facilities, quick vehicle servicing, auto repair uses, and does not allow exterior storage and display. In addition to this land use review, the applicant has submitted a building permit application to BDS. This site plan shows the proposed improvements. The owner hopes to renovate an existing three-story building for commercial use and intends to update the existing parking area with new paving and landscaping. The existing building was constructed with administrative offices and classrooms to support an adjacent church building. For historical context, here we see a pre-2008 aerial photo of the site. The sanctuary building at the southwest corner of the site was demolished in 2008. According to records, the church was constructed in 1924 and the attached support building was constructed in the early 1950s. Here we see a current photo of the support building. The main entrance faces North Stafford. We see the plywood boards filling in the openings where the building was connected to the sanctuary building. This building has remained unoccupied since the demo of the church building. Here we see a closer view of the front facade and two adjacent homes. This is the remainder of the foundation that supported the sanctuary building. The applicant intends to use this as an outdoor patio area. And then here we see a portion of the building on the right-hand side of the photo. The gravel and paved area is where the parking will be located to support this building. And then the gray concrete building that we see in the background sits on an abutting, eastern abutting lot. And then here we see the back of the building, or the north-facing side of the building. In the foreground, you can see a vacant abutting lot. This lot has frontage on North Lombard Street. Both this lot and the eastern abutting lot are zoned CG.
Do you happen to know what that tower is in the background, the column?
That actually is on top of the building. It's a stealth chimney for a cellular facility. The cellular facility was reviewed through a conditional use review and received approval. Okay.
Stealth.
And it will remain, probably. Yeah.
I was expecting incinerator.
Yes, it looks that way. I think that poses a question for future thought.
Some flavor. There's an intrigue here.
Yeah, it poses a question for future thought whether that's a successful stealth approach to hiding cellular facilities or not. Mm-hmm. Here we see a photo that should.
He noticed it, right? Sorry. We'll get back to work.
No. This aerial photo helps identify the vicinity of the site. The subject site is one block east of the I-5 freeway and 50 feet south of North Lombard. To the east, we see a signalized intersection at the intersection of North Lombard and North Albina. And then the areas both north and south of the Lombard Corridor are developed with single-dwelling residences. This photo shows the northern abutting vacant lot that fronts Lombard Street. And then across the street on the north side of Lombard, we see storefront-type retail buildings. Directly west of the storefront buildings is an apartment complex that's zoned R1, which is a multi-dwelling residential zone. And then where Mississippi and Lombard intersect, there's a commercial, what we would call a strip commercial development with multiple tenants. This building was constructed in 2004. And this particular commercial center has 30 spaces as accessory parking behind the building. The vehicle access to this building is off North Mississippi. And then northeast of the site at the corner of North Albina and Lombard, there are auto-oriented commercial uses. In the foreground, we see an auto repair use. And then in the background, we see a rental truck business, and all of those properties mentioned are zoned CG. And then on the north side of Stafford, just east of the subject site, the lots are developed with single-dwelling residences. Most of the homes in this area were constructed in the 1920s, about the same time that the original church building was constructed. And here we see the homes that are directly across the street from the site on the south side of North Stafford. And then, across from the site on the west side of North Mississippi, we see more homes. As provided in the findings of the hearings officer's report, the requested map change is on balance supportive of the relevant policies. Changing the map designation and zoning on this site will allow utilization of an existing commercial building. The CM zone will allow commercial uses that are compatible with the adjacent residential development. This proposal, with conditions, satisfies the zone change approval criteria for service adequacy. To address traffic capacity for the North Lombard, North Mississippi intersection, the Portland Bureau of Transportation recommends conditions that set vehicle trip limits to address possible future expansions and/or redevelopment. I should note that Fabio De Freitas from the Bureau of Transportation is here to answer questions about the traffic analysis and the hearings officer's recommended conditions. In summary, the hearings officer recommends approval of the request with a condition that applies a vehicle trip cap on the site. Even if divided, this trip cap will continue to apply to the 15,000 square foot site. Recommended condition A2 will allow, without a traffic analysis, a modest increase of 1,000 square feet and or two new residential dwelling units. That would be in addition to the existing 9,500 square foot building that's there now. If the owner or future owners wish to redevelop the property and or exceed this floor area allowance, this condition will require a traffic analysis to document that the proposed development will not exceed the trip cap. This concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Questions for Sheila?
I have a question on the trip cap. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's allowed in the CM is completely residential development, right? And so supposing an apartment building with no parking was proposed for those, for this, how would they calculate the trip cap?
I think that's probably a good question for Fabio, but yes, the analysis would still be required.
Fabio?
Is there a magic button here?
No, not on that one.
You're on.
Good afternoon, Council. Mayor Hales. In answer to your question, Commissioner Fritz, trip caps will be based on a traffic analysis that will be calculated utilizing the IT manual, which is based on number of trips, not based on number of parking necessary or not. So parking and trip generation are really two different animals.
And are those trip caps, or is that calculated on all developments, or would it be a particular condition for this? How would the planner at the desk know that this had a trip cap on it?
Well, this will be not a challenge for us in the future, but it'll definitely be something for us to keep tabs on because of the condition of approval that's being applied here. The goal would be that when a building permit comes in over the counter, that the planner would pull the land use case associated with this site, wherein they would review the condition of approval requiring the traffic analysis based on the development that Sheila identified.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that might be a learning curve question for me. These trip caps are a relatively recent phenomenon in terms of a condition of approval?
They're not relatively recent, Mayor. They're relatively not typically imposed.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we don't have an intersection like we have here that is currently failing and will be failing regardless of the circumstances related to this case. And in order for us to get to yes in this case and affirmatively address the approval criteria, we needed to impose a trip cap. So it has been done in the past. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen regularly. So it's not something that would be new for us to move forward with.
And that's triggered by the adequacy of services criterion, that if it's already a failing intersection, then we can't do much more harm.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, I get it. Thank you. Other questions for staff? Great, thank you both. And do we have the applicant here and a presentation? Come on up, please.
Thank you.
Mayor, may I just inquire, looking forward, do we have someone here who is here to testify in opposition?
Good afternoon, I'm Dave Spitzer, the architect.
My name is Rick Nyes, last name is spelled N-Y-S.
I can start here. I guess the reason we're here is primarily because it's an existing building. If there wasn't a nice old post-World War II building built from the 1950s on the site, 9,500 square feet, we probably would not be asking for a zone change. But there is a nice building. We have the chance to save this building. But obviously, it doesn't make a lot of sense to renovate this building as a single-family residence. It makes more sense to do it as a commercial building. And that's really what started this whole project. The church got torn down because it was an easy building to tear down. It was a wood frame building. The building that is remaining is a concrete bunker, more or less. It's very difficult to tear down. It's got good solid bones. No reason to tear it down if we try to recycle. This is, you know, my whole lifetime of recycling down the drain if we tear it down, to me. I know the traffic is a big issue, probably the biggest issue here. To me, in layman terms, I don't work with traffic engineers all the time, but we basically have an R5 site and a CG site. The proposed development of the CM site is sort of like putting that R5 site and the CG site in a blender, mixing it all up. And since the CG site is 5,000 square feet and the R5 site is 10,000 square feet, we mix it all up, and then what we get, we spread the traffic over the entire site instead of concentrating it on the CG site with hardly any traffic on the R5 site. So at the end of the day, we actually have, I think, less trips than we would have just on the CG site, on the 5,000-square-foot site, because we cannot build a five-story building anywhere on the site now. We're limited to the floor area ratio for the overall building. At the last hearing, we did have some of the neighbors come to testify. They did have some concerns. They were worried about the wrong type of tenant going in to the building, but that was really their only concern. They actually spoke in favor of approval of this. So when we get neighbors coming out to actually support a project, that says a lot about, you know, what we're proposing, and it says a lot about Hadish, the owner of the building. The pictures that you saw actually make the building look fairly nice. If you saw pictures 2 years ago, it was just graffiti-filled trash, somebody living there in a trailer, I believe, on the site. It was kind of a urban blight in that little area, and he's taken that and moved as far forward as he can without actually the building permit approval. One or two more things, and then I'll be done. The type of tenant that is going to be moving in here, we're not going to attract a Fortune 500 company from downtown. We're going to get a neighborhood people moving in here. The people that he's currently in negotiations with on lease are a small charter school for about 10 children. They're currently, I can't remember exactly where they are. They're located a little further down the street off of Lombard, west of the site. So it's a local neighborhood. People using the street from the neighborhood, and the other people that are considering the ground floor is a daycare. So again, these are people that live in the neighborhood that would benefit from this use. And finally, it sounds like if we don't do the zone change today, it's probably going to happen in the near future anyways, as longer Lombard gets more and more developed, as density increases upon Lombard. We were told at the very beginning that if we just waited 4 or 5 years, it's quite possible that we would not have to go through this. Whether or not that's accurate or not, who knows? But it does sound like that is the direction that Lombard is going, that is increasing in density. That's all. Thank you. Any questions? And Rick is the traffic engineer.
Yeah, just not so much a question, but just to raise the concern, and I obviously didn't attend the hearings officer's hearing, but I understand there was some testimony. So this was the annex to a church. Therefore, the fact that you had a multi-story building immediately adjacent to single-family residence didn't cause friction in terms of the kinds of uses that could be accommodated in a commercial building. The ones that you're talking about for the moment sound fine. Is there reason to be concerned that by approving this land use decision, we're setting this neighborhood up for future conflict if there were, for example, a restaurant in that space that operated until 2 a.m. with a liquor license? You see the scenario I'm painting. I'm not asking you to guarantee all future tenancies here. I'm just trying to make sure that we're not creating a problem while we're solving one.
Sheila may be able to answer that better, but I know the uses that we are negotiating with, the school and the daycare, could both be done without the zone change. We could have them come in through a conditional use process in the residential neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that was a neighbor's concern if we did get something less desirable than a restaurant coming in. Obviously, that's an issue. And I guess the tenants or the neighbors felt like they know Hadish and trust him enough. He actually lives down the road. He's not one of the evil developers from out of town. So that is always a risk. Who knows what's going to happen on the site down the road. But I don't know if there's a way that the city can control that. I don't think that there is.
I don't either, but I might want to pose that question to Sheila to reflect on that. So there'll be uses by right here because it's CM that wouldn't be possible.
Yes, staff did consider that in making our recommendation to the hearings officer. The applicants asked for that the site be changed from a conditional use status site to a commercial zone site, and hence we have to consider all of the variety of uses that would be allowed as retail, sales, and service, including restaurants and pubs, et cetera. The neighbors who called and asked and wanted information about the proposal, they were explained that what would be allowed at that site. We never did hear a concern raised about potential the bad types of commercial or commercial uses that would adversely impact the residential area. There were never concerns raised about that. But what staff recommended was the CM zone, which limits the amount of retail, requires a residential component. So we thought that would be the best fit, the best zone to create a transition between those single dwelling homes and the commercial corridor on Lombard. But admittedly, there could be uses that utilize that space that could create some impacts.
So the retail is limited to what, 50% of the FAR floor area ratio?
With this particular decision, the commercial floor area will be less than that. The zoning code, if we did not apply those conditions, the zoning code would allow a one-to-one FAR, which would be 15,000 square feet of commercial. With the hearings officer recommended conditions, the maximum amount of commercial floor area on this site will be 10,500 square feet.
Thank you. Other questions for either the applicant or the staff? Thanks very much. Did you want to justify also, Rick? Sorry.
I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind.
So go ahead. Sure. I'm sorry. I thought you were just here to answer questions.
Again, my name is Rick Nyes, for the record. Last name is spelled NYS. I'm a traffic engineer with Green Line Engineering, and I completed the traffic impact study for the project. I just want to quickly address a letter that was submitted by James and Michelle Stemmler regarding some traffic issues, the first being congestion at the intersection of Lombard and Mississippi, and the second being pedestrian safety issues crossing Lombard at Mississippi. First of all, with regard to congestion, Fabio and Sheila discussed it briefly. There is an existing failure of that intersection in the AM peak hour and the PM peak hour, but with our proposed trip cap, we're basically aren't going to make that problem worse.
Let's ask you a question.
Sure.
In layman's terms, what does a failure mean here in this case?
Well, it'd be a level service F would be the failure. So that's based on the delay that a driver experiences from the side street trying to turn onto Lombard Street.
So the traffic's backed up enough that it's going to be difficult to get into traffic on Lombard, very
basically
difficult to make a left turn, that kind of situation.
Right. The critical turn from Mississippi onto Lombard would be that left turn. That's just the most difficult turn to make. It causes the most delay. So a failure would be a level service F for that movement.
And that's a failure that can't be cured by adjusting the sequencing of the lights or things of that nature?
Well, it's an unsignalized intersection currently. So basically you're at a stop sign and you just have to wait for a gap.
You in my neighborhood, okay.
They're all over the place. So with the proposed trip cap, there really is no, we're not going to make that problem worse. We're going to generate the same amount of trips or less than the amount of trips that are allowed under the current zoning. Secondly, with regard to the pedestrian safety, I've watched that intersection for several hours, and the letter indicates basically that pedestrians take their lives in their own hands trying to cross Lombard. And during the time I was there, I did see pedestrians running across the intersection. I did see some vehicles yielding to those crossing the intersection, and there are bus stops on both corners. I wanted to note that there, 340 feet to the east, there is a signalized intersection at Lombard and Albina. And you know, again, the fact of the matter is that we aren't generating any more traffic with the proposed zone change than exists under the existing conditions. And lastly, I reviewed the last several years of crash data, and there haven't been any crashes related to pedestrians at this intersection. So, just in closing, you know, all the city criteria and the transportation planning rule criteria is met for this application. So, I just want to urge you to approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Rick? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else that wants to testify in support of the application?
No one else signed up.
Okay, and I believe no one signed up in opposition. Is that correct?
Correct.
Anyone else here to testify in opposition? Any further council discussion on this before we move to take? We have to take two votes, I believe, on both the report and the amendment itself. So, further questions? Then let's have a roll call on the report, adopting the report, please.
We need a motion.
I'm sorry, we do need a motion to adopt
Fritz,
the report.
Would you care to make a motion?
I move
acceptance of the hearings officer's report and second. Adoption.
Second. So let's take a vote on that. Thank you.
Fritz?
Thank you to staff. Thank you to the applicant. It's always good to hear when there's been little neighborhood opposition. What was voiced has been addressed skillfully, but knowing that you have been taking care of this property, and in particular, I am grateful for the graffiti removal and your partnership in that, because it does make a difference to the neighborhood. And thanks to staff for your good work on this, including transportation as well as planning. Aye.
Ish.
Another high-quality presentation. Thank you. And appreciate the testimony, and pleased to support it. Aye.
Saltzman?
Pleased to support this. Appreciate the work of the applicant, and appreciate the commitment of the architect to recycle this building and the applicant. That's always a good thing. Aye.
Novick?
I add my thanks, and aye.
Hales?
Aye. Now, a motion to approve the amendment.
So moved.
Second.
Fritz?
Again, thank you. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Wish you luck in bringing this good old building back to life. Thank you for a good presentation. Aye. We are adjourned.